Chapter 19. So, you wouldn't say that Kref was a typical Hankaian then? Said Sam Brock, frowning as she read through Pike's sketchy notes on the big enclosed operator screen. Hetchek had retasked one of the bridge workstations for her use, but the screen surface was old and the sidebar of touch controls slightly under-responsive.
His combat and weapons specialization is a little unusual for a Hankaian of his lower middle status, said the ship AI. What is remarkable is a Hankaian willing to work and live alongside humans, never mind taking orders from one.
I see, Sam said. What about the Agetzi, this Punjo?
She gave the screen touch bar a firm tap, switching to another file, while making notes on a slim pad.
Does he fit in well?
Lieutenant Brock, it would be safe to assume that all the crew members have learned how to coexist in one way or another.
Sam made a few more notes, frowned, then paged the slim pad back to remind herself of earlier comments. Inevitably, however, her thoughts veered off into brooding and speculating on what was happening outside the ship. After the parting of the ways with Tloskin Ray, Sam had elected to accompany Gabros and Mav aboard the Scarabus, acquired from Brannan Pike by devious subterfuge. The Chainer leader's efforts were now devoted to persuading rebel groups from other worlds to switch allegiance back to him. Gabros and Mav had explained some of the background soon after the Scarabus landed on a high mountain shelf west of Armagh City.
Lieutenant, he had said, you have to realize that months of planning and preparation led up to the Armagh Uprising. And not just here. Another 7 worlds, important production worlds, are staging their own insurgencies at this very moment. I was deeply involved in the planning and in regular contact with intermediaries up until the day that my deputy, Tloskin Ray, had Khor remove me from the scene. And now I must reassert my leadership. But if I attempt such a thing in the middle of the fighting, what might the outcome be?
Gabros and Mav had frowned.
From experience, I know that Ray's sense of strategy is weak, so if I do not act, his failure may be catastrophic.
In the end, Gabros and Mav opted for resolve and had the toolbearer bring the Scarabus down to land in a secluded high mountain shoulder. Before leaving with his bodyguards, he ordered the ship AI to allow Sam full access to the databanks. That was over 2 hours ago, during which time she set herself the task of putting together a file on Pike and his crew and ship, just to satisfy her curiosity. The AI proved very helpful, offering up a range of resources. Cargo manifests, fund transactions and transfers, ship-wide chat logs, bridge operator reports, hull and system reports, onboard environmental analyses, crew journals, Pike's own assessment files, and others. Sam knew that this was an attempt at discouragement by overabundance of information. She dipped into the avalanche of data here and there just to get a flavour, then settled down with the personnel files, both the crew's own monthlies and Pike's assessments, and began assembling a report of sorts. Finishing with the Hankaian, Kref, she moved on to one crew member whose species had immediately marked him out. The Kiskashin, Oleg Ki Kelitak. The reptiloid Kiskashin were known to be clannish and intensely conscious of tradition and hierarchy. In some regions of the greater interstellar region, they were well known for their trading families and their extensive commercial interests. But in Earthsphere, the Kiskashin had yet to establish a single offshoot brokerage. Thus, it was reasonable to speculate that this particular Kiskashin had either been exiled or had fled some dark shame or disgrace. But when she asked the ship AI for updated files, the response was unexpected.
It is my sad duty to report that Oleg K. Keletak is deceased. He and Engineer Hamadi both suffocated when this vessel was hijacked by hostile forces.
How tragic.
Due to the state of shipboard systems, I was unable to conduct detailed autopsies. Engineer Hamadi was given a swift space burial in accordance with the strictures of his faith, and Oleg's remains were hastily consigned to cryostasis storage. Since then, however, a few anomalies associated with the Kiskashin's body have come to my attention, but without the captain's permission, I cannot investigate them.
Sam frowned. Are you able to tell me about these anomalies?
Certainly. Data from the stasis canister's monitor systems show a complete absence of the organic compounds that usually transpire from a dead body, even one kept in cryostasis. Also, the temperature is slightly and constantly higher than it should be. Speculation? Cellular degeneration is not taking place, and the body's core temperature is being maintained by some unknown autonomic agency.
You mean the Kiskashin could still be alive? Sam said. I've heard that they can go into a hibernation state if wounded. Could it be that?
No. The slow trance pseudo-hibernation exhibits definite, perceptible heartbeats and respiratory activity. This is an entirely different form of biophysical arrest.
Sam's attention was broken by footsteps and voices in the corridor outside the bridge. A moment later, an anxious Gabrosan Mav entered and came over to the command console.
Lieutenant,
he began,
I hope you have been able to occupy your time well since I left.
The ship intelligence has been very helpful, she said.
Any communications received from your colleague?
No, not one, she said. I admit that I am starting to be concerned about his safety. What about your mission? Any successes?
Two of the six Carder leaders dealing with the estates agreed to see me straight away,
he said.
One refused my proposal outright, the other offered only qualified support, and I was on my way to meet a third when I received some disturbing news.
By now, the hooded toolbearer Hechek had arrived on the bridge and looked anxious on hearing Mav's words.
When you say disturbing, Hechek said, do you anticipate minor worries or a major crisis?
Gabrosan Mav arched an eyebrow.
I have heard from separate sources that Zavri troops have been spotted in Armag City and that a Chainer patrol was ambushed on the main highway by an Avang squad in broad daylight.
So, not minor worries, but not yet confirmed as something worse. Yet.
The Chainer leader smiled thinly at this.
We always knew that lack of airborne forces was our main weakness, which is why we need to leave here, cross the valley, and investigate the ambush location. If we can use this vessel to hunt down the Avang, if indeed they turn out to be responsible, then the news would strengthen the rebels' resolve.
And let everyone know that you're alive and giving the Shuskar a bloody nose, said Sam.
Which would be helpful when it comes to persuading Carder leaders of the advantages of being in your camp,
added Hechek. Gabrosan Mav gave an amused nod.
Such unanimity is gratifying. Now, let us be on our way. A journey across the valley should not take very long.
Sam sat back, doodling notes on her slim pad, while the diminutive Hechek delivered several verbal commands to the ship AI. Moments later, the Scarabus was rising from its high mountain hiding place, a steady ascent until it reached roughly 2,000 feet, then moved in a descending curve whose endpoint was a wooded ridge overlooking the ambush site. All told, from liftoff to the new landing spot, the short flight took slightly less than 10 minutes. As the Scarabus settled onto the bushy undergrowth of the ridge, images of the ambush scene began appearing on Sam's screen. They showed a portion of the highway, a couple of overturned and smouldering vehicles, and a number of dead bodies. There were close-ups of wounds, weapon damage to the armoured cars, and marks on the ground.
Impressive, she said. Sophisticated sensors for a trader ship.
Actually, the bulk of the data is streaming from a probe that I dispatched just after we lifted off.
Toolbearer Hetchek frowned as he studied the screen before him.
We were told that the patrol consisted of 3 Gruxan rebels and 5 chainers from Emestra, and the probe has tallied only 3 bodies in the vicinity.
And they're Gruxan,
said Gabrosan Mav as he studied the data on another screen.
Sadly, yes.
So, it looks likely that the ambushers were Avang.
Both vehicles were disabled by heavy-caliber one-shots, said Hetchek. The Gruxan are all dead from toxinated needle rounds.
And they have taken hostages,
finished Gabrosan Mav.
Why is that significant? Sam said.
Avang fighters have a special brand of cruelty bred into them,
the chainer leader said.
Their society, if 1,000 triblets perpetually at each other's throats can be called such, is rotten with it. But then, they did learn all they know from the Shuskar, including methods of interrogation and torture and how to take pleasure in it.
Sam nodded somberly. They've learned how to feed off others' agony, she said.
Nodding, Gabrosan Mav then leaned in closer to Hetchek.
They must have a squad carrier or similar to get their captives out of the vicinity so fast.
The sensors have detected emission traces consistent with pyrofuel engines, my leader, said the toolbearer. There is a trail leading southeast.
He stiffened, frowned.
Wait. There is a priority connection request for you, coming through on several channels.
He glanced at Mav.
It's from Tloskin Ray.
The chainer leader looked irritated for a moment, then shrugged.
Any of these channels secure? Acknowledge it on the least insecure one, and put him up on the lieutenant's screen.
That's all right, she thought. I can catch up with the mysterious dead or just sleeping Kiskashin later.
She pushed herself out of the workstation couch, nodded to Gabrosan Mav, and retreated a pace as he slipped in to take her place. The face of Tloskin Ray appeared as he was settling in.
Ray,
he said tersely.
Mav, thank you for accepting my call.
Is there a problem, Ray?
Gabrosan Mav maintained a composed, serious demeanour.
How goes the garrison blockade?
Circumstances have changed, said Tloskin Ray. The governor's garrison troops have managed to break out and push us back towards the city. We have taken up positions about 0.5 mile from the garrison and are holding against further attacks.
How?
They used remounted air defence batteries to blow holes in our blockade before we could knock them out. Also, my scouts have reported sightings of Avang hunters leading the breakout units, corroborated by frontliners who have come face to face with them.
Are you in need of assistance, Ray? Is that what this is about?
We are experiencing difficulties, no more. But
I can bring my ship to you in a matter of minutes, Ray. Its weapons can deal with the garrison units and their Avang advisers. But I want something in return.
On screen, Tloskin Ray had a sullen, cornered look.
Name it.
Confirm me as joint leader of all Chainer forces throughout the War Cage, subject to ratification of the Chainer Council and plebiscite.
Are you insane? How can the Council carry out a plebiscite of all ranks while hostilities are continuing?
Those are my terms. Do you accept?
Accepted!
Tloskin Ray's eyes burnt with resentment.
Now get here with all haste!
The scream went dead, and Gabrozen Mav leapt to his feet, laughing.
We have him! Hand and tongue, Hetek! Set a course for the garrison locale at maximum speed!
The Toolbearer nodded and linked the data control spikes of one hand to a nearby console. A moment later, he said,
Course laid in, my leader. Thrusters engaged, and we are flying at target sensor altitude, according to my screen.
Sam sank back into her seat as Gabrozen Mav went over to Hetek station. The bridge of the Scarabus seemed half deserted, with the pale morning light coming in through the unfiltered viewport, casting some sharp shadows over the equipment and the empty hooded workstations. Memories of past experiences aboard Earthsphere ships made her imagine how this one might look with a full crew rather than just Mav and his handful of followers.
Am I actually going to survive this mission? She wondered. Why hasn't that stupid construct drone made contact yet?
Sensors have detected a small craft taking off from inside Armag City, said Hetek. Launch point was close to the Lord Governor's residence. So, Lord Giamatu has finally realized how hopeless his position is,
said Gabrozen Mav.
Good! Farewell to another useless blood-sucking noble.
Interesting. The craft's profile seems overpowered for conventional civil authority forces. Wait. Systems have picked up a second craft, a small one or two-seater, lifting off from wooded hills outside the city.
Sam turned to look round and saw the Toolbearer frown as he paused, then glanced at Mav, who was standing nearby.
We have just received another priority call from Tloskin Ray.
Toolbearer Hetek stood aside, and Gabrozen Mav took his place. A moment later, Ray was looking out from the screen, features creased in a smile.
We are still a minute or two from your location, Mav said. Are you still holding?
Just thought to tell you that the situation is no longer urgent. Only moments ago, all the garrison forces abandoned their positions and retreated back into the garrison. So you can take your time, Mav.
I assume that our agreement still stands, said Mav.
Oh, I wouldn't call it an agreement, Tloskin Ray said. More like topics for further discussion. For example, I can confirm that there is an opening for a second in command.
Sam was only half listening. Her attention was focused on the broad sensor sweep of the valley now currently visible on her own screen. As she watched, a bright point rose from building clusters outside Armag City. Almost immediately, it was tagged with a little text flag and a tiny arc of stats.
That's another departure, said Hetek, who had moved to another station. Probably Avang.
He leaned forward.
And a fourth.
These aren't random flights, Sam thought. They're part of a pattern. Of evacuation. Hetek, she said hurriedly. Are the sensors registering any major ships or vessels in the area?
Long-range sensors are tracking one large vessel which dropped out of orbit several minutes ago.
What's its altitude and heading?
In the last few seconds, it switched course to descend through the cloud layer and is about to pass directly overhead.
You've got to take evasive action, Sam told Hecek, then turned to Gabros and Mav, who was still arguing with Ray. They're going to hit the city and nearby rebel positions. We need to get out of here. The Chainer leader was on the point of reacting angrily to her interruption, but then the voice of the ship AI cut in. Unidentified missiles launched from unidentified ship. Multiple ground targets. Time to first wave impact, 8.7 seconds. Recommend crisis mode evasive action.
Do it!
Yelled Gabros and Mav. On the screen, a puzzled Tloskin Ray looked away as a subordinate hurried up to whisper something. The Chainer leader only had time to bellow, "Take cover!" before there was a thunderous crashing sound. Everything on the screen blurred and there was a bright glare. Then there was a second explosion so loud that it distorted the audio feed. Then the screen went dead, but Sam could see a red-orange light pouring in through the viewport as beneath them the valley burnt.